when the road is uncertain and you can't stop the hurting, he'll be there for you. When there's no one beside you, he'll be there to guide you, catch you each time you fall. When the stars won't shine
preach after that. What you can do, he'll be there. Young people, never forget that. Or what you've done by accepting and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And now, this afternoon, just in a little bit, for baptism. He not only was there for you at that moment, but he'll be there for you forever. Forever. Oh, adults, that goes for you too. Especially if you don't know the Lord this morning. So vitally important. Take your Bibles, please. Be turning to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, which will be our text this morning. And in light of what's fixing to happen in just a moment, in a few moments, then what better to take and to preach on this morning but baptism? What is biblical baptism? What are, and Brother Steve, my title this morning is The Boundaries of Baptism, because we need to understand something. Adults, you can validate this. If there is something that's important to you, there are boundaries about it. It's precious. You don't want it getting away from you. You don't want to take and lose contact inside of it. And yet, sadly, there's a lot of confusion about what baptism really is. And that's sad, but know this, confusion is not of God, so that means it's of the devil. Here's what you have. You've got too many that are giving their opinions as to what they think it ought to be. You got denominations that are telling you what it has to be. Listen, let me just say this before I get into the message itself. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what some pastor thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. What matters is what God said. That is the only thing that is true, lasting, and works for everyone forever. And that's what we're going to look at today. Not what man has to say, but what God has to say about baptism. When you find your place in Matthew chapter 3, stand with me as we do honor to the Lord's word. And we'll begin in verse 13. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. The word of God says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." No wonder he was known as John the Baptist. Amen. "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Amen and amen. Brother Salonga, would you take us to the throne of grace, please, sir? Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Notice first and foremost, in this passage of Scripture, we need to realize that baptism, now hear me well, baptism has no part in salvation, but from salvation. And in this, water baptism has no redeeming from sin value, but in our text we see that Jesus came to John to be baptized. Why? Hebrews 4:15 clearly says this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now here's the sinless one, the only perfect one who ever lived, Jesus Christ, tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. And thus, that's what we need to understand about water baptism. It cannot take and impart any grace, any merit, any goodness from the Lord, any mercy, and it certainly cannot save us from the original sin. That's that sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden by Adam. Now, baptism is important, and we're going to get to it. But there are those that say that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And that is not what God says. Amen. And so thus we see what God is saying. The very fact that Jesus was without sin and yet he was baptized, we need to know that Scripture would, if that had to be, if that was a co-component of salvation. Now let's just reason this morning. If baptism was a co-component for salvation, why wouldn't Christ have said so? Why? Listen, why wouldn't Paul have brought it up? Why, if that was true, why would Jesus delegate the authority of baptism being salvation? Then what did he die for? Amen? What is salvation all about if it can be delegated to man to complete it? Amen. Only Jesus can complete salvation. Only Jesus can. As a matter of fact, in Luke 23:43, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Who did he say that to? The thief on the cross. Guess who didn't get baptized before he went to paradise with Jesus? That thief on the cross. But I'll tell you what that thief on the cross did do. That day he believed in the fact that Jesus Christ was Lord. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he said, remember thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was not baptized at that time, did not have to be. Not only that, but there are many hundreds of Bible verses that deal with this very subject. And yet, so many times we don't take the time to study to show ourselves approved. Jesus said in Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God. How? By faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. That's what saves you. Listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Listen, that's what we have to do. And that's exactly where salvation comes from, is the very heart of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did for you and for me. And furthermore, in John 4, chapter 4, verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Amen. Said, listen, the first goal, child of God, hear me well, the first goal in your testifying, in your sharing the gospel, in your going out and telling others about Jesus, it's not about baptism. It's about going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone that's lost so that they too can be saved. And then I'll get to it in just a moment. Once that happens, then the Bible says immediately they got baptized. It's important, but it's not the most important. Most important is salvation. So thus, know this morning, baptism is post-salvation. Post-salvation. But not only post-salvation, but baptism portrays salvation. It portrays salvation. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says, know ye not that so many of us were, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In Scripture, especially in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a lot of symbolism used to get across what the Lord is giving to us, what he is sharing with us. As a matter of fact, two of the most visual in Scripture are the two ordinances of the church. The first one being that of communion or the Lord's Supper. In that, notice the symbolism that he gives. The bread, the wafer, represents his body that was broken for you and me. The juice represents his blood that he shared for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. So symbolic. It's not the physical, it is the symbolic representation. That is how, listen, God used to portray here in baptism. Why? Because that is the second ordinance of the church, is baptism. As a matter of fact, Paul teaches that it alone pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel. Only baptism by water in immersion represents that. There are those that teach that babies can be baptized. You sprinkle them or you pour a little water on them. I'm going to show you that's not true. That right here at this church, don't baptize babies. There's a reason for that. Paul says there's a reason for that, and Jesus assures you there's a reason for that. It's about the matter that it must represent the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you realize this morning that is the gospel? Amen. That is the gospel. That's what baptism is all about. That's what the Lord wants to get across to us. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the very word itself, baptize, is baptizo. And what it means literally is to dip, submerge, plunge under the water. And those that worked with fabrics, and those of you that know that fabrics, when they're dyed, they have to be immersed. They have to soak in the dye. That's what Scripture's talking about here. That's the symbol. That was something that those in the New Testament understood. And so therefore, that's what Paul is teaching here. That's what Jesus has given us so that we understand this matter. Not only that, but in our text, in verse 16, the Bible says in chapter 3 there, Matthew, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? You remember when he received Christ as his Savior? Now watch, they're going along and Philip, and watching, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, here it comes. If you could just get sprinkled or pour a little water on you, why does Scripture say that they both went down into the water? Why does Scripture say, and Jesus came up straightway out of the water? Because once again, that's the only way that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ could have happened. Now watch, young people, what y'all are going to symbolize in just a few minutes. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're not ashamed to say that with your life. God is just so awesome. Baptism is post-salvation. Baptism portrays salvation. And baptism personifies salvation. Whew. What you're going to do brings to life what the living Word did for you. If there's anyone in here this morning saved, that's what happened to you when you got saved. And by being baptized, that's what you're representing, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's living. That becomes alive in your life. Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Now, he's proclaiming to the world, and what he's saying for you and I to proclaim to the world is found in Romans 1:16, "Because for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Oftentimes when I visit with someone that got saved and they're not really certain about baptism, they've not dealt with it before, they've not had anyone teach them or try them, one of the things I really love to use the most is this wedding band. This wedding band right here that you see me wearing. This wedding band does not say it did not marry me. It has saved me a few times, but it did not. That's not why I'm married. What it does say, though, is that I belong to someone. I belong to someone. As a matter of fact, and I am so thrilled over all of our guests being here. Thank y'all for coming, supporting these precious young people. Thank you for being here. So you wouldn't know, but the woman that I belong to, that beautiful lady is sitting just right back there. Yes, she's so tiny, nobody would have put us together but God. And for our guests, we have 9 children, 18 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren. I look like it, but she doesn't. When we're baptized, we're saying to the world, I belong to somebody. I am somebody. You are somebody. Jesus Christ gave his life for you because he loves you. He loved me. As a matter of fact, God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, to die for you. Young people, don't you ever, graduates, you listen to me, don't you ever let a possible employer or anybody else tell you you're worthless. You're not worthless. You are somebody. You belong to God. And Jesus gave his life for you to do that. For us. As a matter of fact, I loved it, for whosoever will. Amen? That's for everybody. So don't feel left out this morning. Oh my. And then not only that, but baptism purposes salvation. No instance anywhere. As I said a while ago, that there are baby baptisms. And let me just share a little more about that, and we'll be done. But we need to know this. The one area that they try to use as their platform for why they believe that, you remember the Philippian jailer and Paul and Silas in prison? And after the earthquake, and he thought that all the prisoners had escaped, that he was going to be killed for letting them get away, and yet they didn't. None of them left. And when he learned that, and Paul, he was going to kill himself, and Paul and Silas said, don't do that, we're all here. I mean, the Bible said that they were singing while they were chained up, bound, and all that. I don't know what they were singing. I'll assure you, maybe Amazing Grace or something. No, but they were singing about Jesus. Because the Philippian jailer asked a question of them. What must I do to be saved? Right? Now, here's what they use. An example, the Bible says, and all his house. So they think, you know, well, all of his house will say, you do not, and I just need to emphasize this, you don't get saved inheriting it, or just someone say that you're saved. There's got to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It cannot be anything less. As a matter of fact, here's what Scripture talks about, and you have to do so based on your own free will. You must choose. You've got to choose whether to receive Christ or not, whether to ask Christ into your heart. He does not force himself on anybody. And so, as a matter of fact, in this passage, in verse 30 of Acts chapter 16, when he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't miss a beat in here. In verse 31, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't say anything about baptism at this point. Now watch, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now that's where they take and say, well, there it is right there. It is not. As a matter of fact, they didn't get saved they didn't get saved by proxy. There still has to be that relationship. As a matter of fact, notice verse 32. The Bible says, and they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. They are in his house while they are speaking to him about salvation, how to be saved, and how to believe, and all that were in his house. Family, servants, loved ones, whoever was there. That I agree with all. But it didn't happen just by proxy. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say and emphasizes verse 33, and he, talking about the jailer, took them, Paul and Silas now, the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. I can just see that jailer now. All that they, the blood, where they had been beaten. Oh, listen, one of the first things that happens when you get truly born again, you're not the same as you were before.
That's right. Amen.
There's going to be a difference in your life. You're going to have a different perspective. Now all of a sudden, he was wanting to help them. And yet we have Paul and Silas. Oh, they're still preaching. But this is after. They've all been saved. How did that happen? What took place? They heard, they believed, they chose to be saved, and every one of them that heard and believed and chose to be saved, which were in the house and they were saved. Now, let me just prove something to you. Can a baby understand salvation? I'm going to tell you right now, I've been saved a long time, but I don't understand it all. I won't understand it all until I get to heaven. And then I figure I'll struggle. I didn't graduate in 5% of my class. I did graduate in, I think, the lower 5% of my class. But when I get to heaven, I am going to understand all that Jesus did in order for this old boy to be saved. You telling me that a baby understood that? Brother Mitchell, you work with young people every week, every day. Brother, can you say all of them understand salvation? They understand they are saved. That's what's wonderful. We can understand that because God made it possible for us to do that. They set, and the Bible says in verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he, you know what, set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, baptism then is for believers. Baptism for believers. And since he and everyone in his house believed, the Bible says that they became acceptable candidates for baptism. There's not even a hint about it. That is the purpose of baptism. And it purposes us to be able to do that, to be baptized. And that's what he's sharing here. Again, you take an infant, they can't understand it. But I thank God they're safe until they need to be saved. James 4:17, I quote it off because it's so important. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. A baby doesn't know to do good. Doesn't know the difference between sin. Doesn't understand that. How can they know and believe? You can't. You can't. I know some adults that still, I'm not sure, know the difference. Baptism is post-salvation. It portrays salvation. It personifies salvation. It purposes salvation. And lastly, baptism prioritizes salvation. Baptism says it's salvation first. But then, if it's personified, baptism goes next, because it's the first step of following God, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Your walk of faith with him. Because if you don't take your first step, the first command in your salvation, when are you going to take it? What are you going to do? You're not going to grow until you begin. And that's why Pastor is so excited and thrilled about y'all being here. Oh, I'm thrilled about y'all that got saved too and I baptized you. But this is exciting right here. So wonderful. Baptism is important. It is significant. As a matter of fact, it was so important, so significant, that the Bible says in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now one might say, well, what's the big deal on that? In the book of Mark, it tells us that he's from Nazareth, the town in Nazareth of Galilee. And for him to get to get there, it's about, from what I understand, 60 miles. And watch this, Jesus did that on foot. Listen, I don't know people today that would walk 60 miles just to get gasoline. You may have to walk 60 miles because you ain't got none. But most wouldn't even do that. But Jesus, it was so important to Jesus. And why? Because it was unto the righteousness of God. And Jesus came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. That's why Jesus came. Even, watch this now, even in baptism. And the Bible teaches us, now we're to follow Jesus Christ. We're to follow in his footsteps. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. That's what I was sharing with my granddaughter. Listen, get your instructions where you need to go out of this book. It won't lie to you. It won't lead you astray. God is so awesome, so gracious. Our text tells us that Jesus was baptized. He did it because the Father desired it of him. You and I do it because Jesus desires it of us. He commands it in order to follow him the way that we ought to. May I say this? This morning, if you're not saved, oh, listen, to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten Son, and that he manifested himself in the flesh in order to die in our place. It's a big word called propitiation. It's when you're guilty, you ought to be the one that suffers death, hell, and the grave, but Jesus did it for us. Amen. So that we don't have to. Jesus did that. And if this morning you believe that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, now watch this, and that he died for your sins and mine, and he was buried. Watch this now. But on the third day, the Bible says that God the Father raised him from the dead. Whew. I'd like to take time to preach on that. But raised him from the dead. Thus we have the complete gospel. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that this morning, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And then, once you're saved, do like these young people. Don't put it off a year or two thinking that, well, when I get to be better, when I understand more, when I feel like I've accomplished something in my spiritual walk. No, that's not what he said. Do it now and experience a spiritual walk. He says, listen, follow me. Follow me. Paul said, follow me even as I also follow Christ Jesus. Listen, I don't want y'all following me. Follow Jesus. If I'm following Jesus, you can come along until you get your eyes fixed on him, because you'd do much better off. But that's why baptism is so important this morning. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to have a short invitation. Say, short, Brother John? Yeah. We're not going to beg. We're not going to take and draw it out. This morning, you know if you're lost. You know if you're lost. God knows you're lost. This morning, though, that can be changed for all eternity if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him with your mouth. Oh, listen, and ask him. Ask him to come into your heart, your life. He will. He will. And then that qualifies you for baptism. That is what he makes available to you. But you must be born again, just as Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer. In order to be saved, you must be born again. And now if you are saved, like I said, don't put baptism off. Well, Brother John, I'm just not. Listen, you may be uncomfortable. You may be experiencing all kinds of issues. And all. You'll never know. Because once you follow the Lord in that scriptural water baptism of immersion, then you have done what he's told you to do. Oh, then you can ask him and listen for him to tell you what that next step you have. What he has. Oh, listen, this morning, that's how important it is. But the most important is salvation. Please, this morning. Please, you'll choose. Well, Brother John, I'm not going to choose right now. Oh, yeah, then you just chose. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Father, we come to you right now thanking you, dear God. Thanking you for what you've already done for us all this morning. Thanking you, dear God, realizing that each and every one of us that are here this morning are not here by accident. God, you're omniscient. You knew exactly who was going to be here today. You knew exactly what each and every one of us needed from you this morning. Oh God, I don't know for anybody else, but Father, whatever I need this morning, I pray, dear God, that I'm ready and willing to hear and to receive, listen to you and obey you. Oh Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, dear God, for the decisions that have been made already by so many that are here. Father, I thank you for Father, for this beautiful symbol of the gospel of you, Lord Jesus, your death, burial, and resurrection that we're going to see in just a moment. Oh, Father, I thank you for all these things. But, dear God, my heart goes out. If there's one here that's lost, oh, dear God, that they not be separated for all eternity, Father, from those who do know you as their personal Savior. Father, you did all that you did for them as well as those saved. Father, it's your will that none should perish, no, not one. Father, I'm so thankful. Too often, Father, we have our own concept of salvation, of eternity, and oh, but dear God, I'm so thankful that this morning we can believe that we have a Savior, that as he left to ascend back to glory, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. Oh, Father, like the little girl said, when the man chastised her, Lord, for believing in you, Lord Jesus, she said, sir, if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. But, sir, if you're wrong, you've lost everything. Oh, dear God, open the eyes and hearts of any and all here today that do not know you as their Savior, that they will hear and have that opportunity once more to receive you as Savior. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
There, Daddy. Yeah, there's Papa boy back there. Can you see her okay, Jer? There we go. Amen. All right, Mama, y'all got her now? All right. Grace Lynn. Pastor, so proud of you. The decision that you made. First, ask Jesus in your heart. Show him that very pretty smile. And now to take and follow him in scriptural baptism. And based on that fact, because you are born again, I can now baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, boy. Amen. Amen. This is Danielle, and she's, hey, she's in the 1% of this class right now. So thankful, because you made Jesus number one in your heart. Even you were already his, and all of God's children. So this morning, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, Danielle, I can now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in the newness of life. Yes! Glory. They're getting a little taller now. Ivan, I'm so thankful that you asked Christ into your heart. And he did, didn't he? And now you're going to say that to the entire world. Pastor is so thankful. So now, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in a newness of life. Amen. Amen. If it takes a little while to get back up, it's not because I'm holding him down until the bubbles quit. Dalton, man, oh man, thank you for asking Jesus into your heart. Thank you for doing this to tell all that you're glad you did. And so now, because of that profession of faith in Christ, Dalton, I can now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Buried with him in baptism.
Lay all the way back.
We were talking, and I asked him, I said, you want to take your glass off sitting over there, or you want to baptize them too? He said, yeah, I want to baptize them too. Amen. Oh yeah, I'm so thankful to know the Lord is your personal Savior, and because Pastor can now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Watch your step. So grateful to you. I just give God the glory for all of us, you and coming forward and now being baptized. I'm so grateful, thankful that you love God so much. Now, because of that faith in him and your salvation, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in a newness of life. Amen. So proud of you, man. That's it. Joseph said, Pastor, would it help if I shrunk a little? I said, Joseph, what I'm afraid of, you're going to absorb and get bigger. Oh, God. Aren't you glad to be saved?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I am too. And because of that, I get the joy of baptizing you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk, in the newness of life. Okay, close the gate. Close the gate. Leo and I sitting by each other down at the camp meeting in Canton. And we had a great visit that evening. And ever since then, it's been good when we come to the house of the Lord. Leo, you ready?
Yeah.
Amen. You know that you're saved.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. All right, Leo, such an honor.
It's an honor.
Thank you. And to God be all the glory. But I can now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism. Raise the wall. This is Jordan, and just like the river in Israel, and he's come to be baptized this morning because he knows Jesus is his personal Savior. Well, Jordan, based on that profession of faith, I can now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism. Now, keep going. Raise the wall. And the newness of life.